Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Priscilla Torres.
Alrighty, so welcome to the Ivy Podcast. I am your host, Priscilla Torres, and I am so excited to be joined today by Samer Sherrod, who is not only a thought leader, former adjunct professor, but has spent the majority of her career solving human resource challenges in a variety of industries and Fortune 100 companies. Samer also serves as a mentor to many women in the human resources and leadership field. So Samer, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Priscilla. Thank you for the invitation. It's an honor.
Absolutely. So I am so excited to talk to you. But before we get started, can you just tell us a little bit more about yourself and all the great work that you're doing today?
Well, I've been in human resources for 20 years, and I know HR and love HR. And my day job is employee benefits at Insurance Office of America. So I help small and middle market organizations identify the benefits strategies that are really appropriate for their workforce. So I like to say that I have a lot of fun at work every day, and I love to leverage my strategic HR background to kind of bring value to my clients and to really feel like I'm making a difference for them. So it's a little bit about what I do in my day-to-day, but we'll go from there.
Absolutely. So when we talk about, you know, the way that you assist your clients and being able to drive results, how do you address those conversations that scare people away or getting tuned into getting their results?
So your question is, how do you help people who are scared of having tough conversations?
That's absolutely.
So I tend to model what I try to help leaders do. And I do, you know, in my 20 years of HR, I did a lot of executive coaching for my client groups, and they would often come to me and say, this is the problem I'm having, and I just don't know how to have the conversation. And it's really all about digging into what the fear is, because there's always a fear behind any hesitation to having a tough conversation. So whether that be, and, you know, sometimes in my daily job, they say, I really want to work with you because you give me much more for my value. And, you know, you would be a great thought partner for me, but I'm scared to disengage from my current broker partner. That's a fear-based kind of conversation. So I try to just dig into what's holding people back and help them identify what they really want in the future state. And they have to decide, is the future state worth facing my fears? And if so, what are the tactics to get me to do that? And I think, you know, in a non-business standpoint, I think this resonates for me more as I've mentored women. There's so many women out there who would tell me, I'm scared to ask for the promotion. I'm worried that I don't have every qualification, or I feel like I'm not treated as well as I should be, and I want to have a conversation about it, but I'm scared to do that. So many fear-based hesitations there around really advancing your career and getting what you really want out of your career. And I think that you have to really pick apart helping the person face those fears and deciding, do I think that taking the steps to achieve my greater good is worth it? And if it is, then just get your butt there and do it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think we've all been placed in situations where we're afraid, or the level of uncertainty of the unknown space is so uncomfortable that the fear really holds us back from taking that leap of faith, or, you know, cutting that deal, or, you know, taking that promotion or going after that promotion. So as an individual, what kind of strategies have you implemented? Have you ever done like a pros and cons list, or is there anything in particular that you've done that has helped you overcome fear in your work or in making decisions?
Absolutely. So one of my go-to strategies when I feel like I personally have a fear in my career or personal life is asking myself, what's the worst thing that could happen? Why do I ask that? Because it gets right to the heart of what I'm really scared of. What's the worst thing that could happen if you tell your boss you feel like you deserve that big promotion and you've been passed up three times? What is the worst thing that could happen? And if that worst thing is not something horrific, to say, well, that's within bounds and I don't get to sit there and sit on my fear anymore, it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. So usually the worst case scenario question is a big one that I do. Anytime I feel like I'm hesitating or procrastinating a conversation or decision. I also personally think journaling is a really powerful method of exploring what would an ideal situation look like and how might I play it out and what are my feelings around the situation? Because at work, we don't like to talk about our feelings with people and we don't like to acknowledge that we even have them. And I always joke and say, there's been many times I've closed my door at work and had a tearful moment or two. And I was ashamed of it. And I was scared to let anybody see me when I came out. Like, what if they knew that I cried in my office? Guess what? Emotions are embedded in us as human beings. We have them. And if you deny them, you're wasting energy. So journaling helps you address the feelings around whatever you're going through because you process better and you're able to use your logic and your brain a little bit more once you process the feelings, which are not always rational. Mm-hmm. The third thing I always suggest to people is role playing. So it's silly because a lot of times, like, say that person's like, I'm scared to have that conversation with my boss that I want that next job because they're going to tell me all the things I'm not doing right, maybe, or maybe they're going to tell me that Billy was better at the job than me and I'm not going to get what I want out of it. Well, let's play that out. Let's role play what a conversation might look like so you can practice the right type of questions and the right type of analysis and the right type of strategy to get you to the goal. Maybe you're not going to get that promotion right now, but in our role-playing session, we do decide that, well, what is it going to take for me to get that next promotion? What are the steps I can take so that in a year I am ready and you believe that I can do that job? So through role-playing, it really builds confidence to be able to sit in that chair and have a tough conversation. Absolutely. And usually the conversations are not as bad as we think they are once we've had them. Mm-hmm. It's just we build illusions in our head that are really rooted in really our emotions and our own fears.
Sure. No, absolutely. And I love that you mentioned and highlighted journaling because that's something that I just recently incorporated. And it has been so life-changing for me because mm-hmm. I am an overthinker by nature. So I'm just constantly thinking and I'm always strategizing. And we tend to get in our heads. And sometimes the reality of a situation or the reality of a potential outcome could be very different than what's going on in our head, right? So journaling, I've found personally to be very helpful because it really allows me to just clear that space and be able to see things differently, make better effective decisions. So when we talk about this concept of head trash, right? How can we continuously look at taking it out or removing any additional barriers or obstacles that are enabling us from being an effective leader?
So head trash, that's a phrase I use all the time because especially being in sales and you're in an environment where you want to win and you can get in your own head a lot. I've seen a lot of people in my business have that happen. And it's really your decision to allow it to not be taken out. Like if you were to not take your garbage out for 4 weeks straight, it'd be sitting in your garage and it would smell up your entire house probably. You would never let garbage sit there in your garage. You would take it out every week, twice a week at least, and have the garbage man take it away. So you have to identify the messages in your own head that are inhibiting your results that you're looking at. And you said something about you're an overthinker. Most of us are. We're designed like that and we kind of get stuck in those habits. We're groomed to do that. I recently read a book called The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. It's been a game changer for me because I too have been caught in the overthinking trap. I call it the hamster wheel. When I am in a hamster wheel, I am thinking about, I must know how to solve this. I need to understand everything that's ever happened to me in the past that relates to it. I'm cataloging. And at some point, the same brain that got you into a situation is not the same brain that can solve your situation. So we give our brains too much credit is what I'm really trying to say. We spend too much time listening to the chatter that's going on and the chatter doesn't know anything different than we already know. So it's wasteful, like listening to a repeat record, right? So the Untethered Soul really talks about mindfulness and me being in healthcare and being really passionate about being present and knowing your body and being your best living your full potential, mindfulness and meditation are really the only way to take out the garbage, if you will, because it allows space. You said the word space from journaling, but when you are allowing your mind to be quiet, you're not discrediting that you're smart and you're not telling it to never talk to you again. You're putting it in its appropriate slot. So you're able to manage your energy and to manage your emotions in a way that feels a little bit more balanced and whole. So if you've never, I may sound like I'm speaking like a crazy woman, but what I'm really saying is if you've never done mindfulness or meditation, that's an invitation for you, because in the book, it really speaks to the amount of hours we waste listening to our thoughts and how when we reprogram ourselves to be silent, we're able to really take in stimuli and the world and our issues in a different way, in a more balanced and wholesome way, in a way that doesn't make us feel afraid at the end of the day. You know, when you're overthinking something, you just feel like you're carrying a weight on your back. Mm-hmm. And that's not any way to live. So that's a little bit about how I address that.
Absolutely. And it's funny that we're talking about this because just yesterday I was looking at a webinar that was speaking on the importance of leaders really taking the time out of their day to have that quiet space, because we're so used to, you know, solving issues and hopping from one meeting to the next. And our days are just go, go, go from the moment we wake up to the moment that we shut our eyes and then have to start all over again. So it's really finding that mindfulness time and that peace and quiet where the thoughts are still going to run through, because as overthinkers or strategists, however, you know, we want to word ourselves, as leaders, we have that responsibility of constantly thinking and strategizing on what our next moves are, what our next goals are going to be. But having that quiet time is so key to be able to think more clearer and have more of effective ideas. And then adding journaling onto that practice, I mean, having those 10 minutes of just quiet time is suffice, and being able to have clear thinking and clear ideas to journal and then reference to and build on for future, it has been incredibly effective with other leaders. And so I'm great that you brought that up, because I found that to be really interesting yesterday, and definitely I think an area that all of us leaders or hold leadership positions can work on and improving. And then when we talk about incorporating different practices with bringing in clarity and courage needed to really progress ourselves, both professionally and personally, what thoughts do you have on them?
So clarity and purpose, those are two very important pieces. That's similar to professional athletes, right? No professional athlete will ever tell you that they started their career without clarity, that this is something they really feel in their heart of hearts they want to do, and purpose, that I know I was kind of born to do this. And unfortunately, in the real world where we all just have 9-to-5 jobs, right? And we went to college maybe and took a job and got nice paychecks and kept progressing, and you may be feeling I got off the path to what the heck my purpose is, or what am I even clearly trying to do with my career? What do I believe in? We don't even ask ourselves the question anymore, because we maybe just bar down the path of maybe not being aligned with those things. So, I mean, I'm a woman who made a major career change, right? I was on the HR leadership path in corporate America and thriving in my career and doing great, but something inside of me felt like I wasn't aligned and that I wasn't really doing my life's work. And that is, making a career change like that can really help you reinvent yourself. So after 20 years of doing the same thing, now working with small and middle market companies makes me feel like my talents are more useful, because I feel needed. I feel that my skill set is not present today in most of those companies, and I get to impart all of the wisdom that I took from my old career, whereas before I feel like much of my wisdom was being wasted because I was in the masses of many like me. So it's just one example, but I came to that decision because of doing the work. And doing the work for me, every year I would do a vision board. What's on my vision board? Meaning, what the heck do I want my year to be? And what do I want to accomplish this year? But not just accomplish, as in tasks. What I want to like really be. So asking that question, you know, can open up a lot of thinking. So cutting magazine pieces out and putting them on a poster board may seem like, I've had an executive tell me that feels like arts and crafts. And I said, too bad, you're going to do it anyway. That's the kind of executive coach I am.
I love it.
That person will be laughing if they're listening to my podcast. But sometimes doing those things that may feel unnatural or silly, like vision boards, mm-hmm. actually open doors to big opportunity. And I think reading as well. Reading different books can help you bring clarity and help you remember your purpose, because the books you pick actually probably aligned with your purpose, because you picked them because you're intrigued or excited about that. Ask yourself why. Mm-hmm. And clarity, a lot of times, that provide perspective that maybe help give you more clear action for your life. Big Magic is another book recommendation I have for you. It was a game changer for me because it talks about opportunities come to you all the time. Mm-hmm. We don't even realize sometimes, because they may be small, they may be big. You meet people, you get opportunities, you get, you know, invitations. And sometimes we're wired to say no, or our fear wires us to just say maybe later. Mm-hmm. And then the opportunity is gone, and it's, you know, no longer in play. So that book really helped me to take stock in the opportunities that were around me and the people who were bringing me ideas and partnerships and thoughts and people who inspired me that maybe I wasn't spending enough time with. Mm-hmm. And it caused me to gain more clarity around, I need to do more with those particular people, and I need to have them close.
Absolutely. And I think that ties a lot to what you were just talking about, because oftentimes, at any age and any level within our careers, we may feel stuck, or we may feel stagnant, and that we're not truly serving, you know, our communities or meeting our needs or whatever it is that we have, our desires of our careers. And we start to harp in ourselves and say, you know what, I'm 35 years old and I still haven't accomplished X, or I am, you know, 50 years old and I've been in the same role for X amount of time and I feel stuck and I want to find that purpose. I want to push myself. And then it's really being able to have that sense of clarity in the vision board. I love vision board activities. It's something I've been doing for years and advocate for. So I'm so happy that that's something that you talk to your clients about, because just a simple activity of just getting a sense of, what is it that I want? What is it that I'm trying to accomplish? What do I desire? And putting it, having the intention of thinking it through, of placing it on the board and mm-hmm. placing it in a location where you consistently look at it. Mine is right on my bathroom, so I have to look at it every single day. And it's just a constant reminder of what your purpose is, what you want to do, what are your desires. And so I love that that's one of the items that you have incorporated into your ability to just identify what your purpose is. And reading is such a great recommendation. So you provided two great books for our listeners. So I hope they'll be able to take it into consideration. But you're right. Sometimes we are provided with opportunities and we don't feel that we're capable. Mm-hmm. We have self-doubt and don't believe enough in ourselves to be able to say, you know what, let me give it a shot, or let me at least learn a little bit more about what this opportunity is and see how I can be of value, or how it could help me in my own, you know, personal or professional development. So when we look at, as a female executive, and you've had so many accomplishments, and certainly you have a very impressive CV, you've worked with a variety of different corporate Fortune 100 organizations, and we talk about having all these challenges, serving our purpose, you know, they're, it could pave a little bit more barriers or more challenges for women to break that ceiling in their organizations. Do you have any advice for females who are trying to break those barriers and break that ceiling?
Well, you know, number one, you need to know your own worth, number one. So if you feel like you're not sure of your own worth and value, do not pass go. Like, nobody is going to know your worth unless you do. So do the internal work to make sure. And if you don't know your worth, or if you think, hey, I'm not worth that much, then ask yourself why and go fix it. Maybe you don't think you're worth that much because you're not skilled enough in an area that is needed in the job you love, or you don't have enough knowledge, then go do something that builds some confidence and get that. And surround yourself with people who do build you up and encourage you, because every day we're not waking up confident, right? But confidence comes from knowing your worth and believing in yourself. So that's number one. I would say number two, be adventurous, because a lot of times, you know, people get in the grind and they do things because they're making a lot of money and they keep doing the same thing because it's comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I would say, I remind myself, I really only get one life. That's in Michael Singer's Untethered Soul book. Like, the only guarantee you have is that you're going to die. Yeah. So what is it really worth staying in the comfort zone, knowing then it's a repeat play every day of your same life? Or do you want to see different chapters of adventures? So when I took the new role, for example, leaving corporate America, everything I knew that was comfortable and my progressive career, to literally start my own business at IOA, which is 1,500 employees. I've never worked in a small firm. I never took a sales training in my life. There were so many unknowns. But to me, I said, what's the worst thing that could happen? I don't do a good job and I fail and I didn't make a lot of money. Big deal. But what's the best thing that could happen is that I made a major investment in myself and I had an adventure. I guarantee myself that before leaving my comfort zone, I was going to learn new skills, that I was going to meet different types of people, and that I was going to learn things about myself that I never would have learned in that comfortable zone that I was in for so many years. And all of that has come to fruition. So I've been here for 18 months and I have learned much more about myself than I ever would have. And I've stretched myself and I've recognized different strengths I had that I didn't even know I had. Different deficiencies, if you will, but I know myself better and I am having fun. So when I die, I can look back and say, what an adventure. And I'm so glad I took that leap. And you have to kind of follow your heart. The third really important thing I want to point out for women, especially, is that we do get tangled up in the emotional stuff more than the average Joe. Okay. So it's a reality that we do. You have got to learn to feel your feelings and then become a problem solver. I had a very difficult situation a long time ago where I just didn't know that it was going to work out well. I was very worried that I was failing in a particular role that I had, and I never failed before. And so I really did the work to say, if I were watching this in a movie, what would I think would be the right things to do to get the best outcomes? I removed myself mm-hmm. from the, you know, being affected to actually being the recommender. So I was executive coaching myself. Uh-huh. I was saying, these are the components of the situation. Here's the story you need to tell. Here's the data you need to bring to the table to influence the stakeholders. And here's the options you need to put on the table for change. I went from feeling really fearful that I was failing at something and really angry that things weren't going in my favor to, getting pretty objective, using data to tell my own story so I didn't have to tell it. And then frankly, crafting the future state, because I said, here's three options that could actually be beneficial to the company and to me. And none of them included me failing in that job. Mm-hmm. So after that hurdle, I will call it, I built myself a lot of more confidence because I realized I got better outcomes than I even anticipated and really reached my potential in that particular role and that company. So it ended well. So you usually will see that when you face your fears and remove the emotions and you become a problem solver, you usually get pretty good outcomes, not every time, but better than you would have if you stayed stuck.
Absolutely. And that's fantastic advice. Something that we can all learn from and incorporate into just our day-to-day, because as you mentioned, getting in our head and allowing the fear of making changes and really taking that time to just think things clear and take a step back and look at it from the outside in, using data to drive those decisions. I mean, those are all things that we can all certainly improve on for our own benefit so that we can be more effective leaders within our respective organizations or in our careers. So as we close, I'm curious to know, you know, there's a lot of young professionals, a lot of entrepreneurs that listen to our channel. What kind of advice can you give to them to just, you know, keep going and find their best selves.
So surround yourself with people who really care about you and who will give you honest feedback and give you honest direction, because we can't do it on our own. My career path was never done alone. They always say, if you want to go far, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And that's really true. I call them, the strong people around me who've cared enough to tell me the feedback that I needed to hear really helped me become my best self. Mm-hmm. And I've done that for them in return, but it's a beautiful gift, but you can't go it alone. You need to find trusted advisors who can invest in you and vice versa. So, and it's not about asking for a formal mentor. All of my mentors evolved organically, and they were because I created authenticity in the relationship, and then those folks were inspired to give back to me. So I think it's a two-way street. It's not asking for mentorship. It's asking for a mutual, authentic, two-way relationship. And that is created over time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you so much for, this is such an exciting episode, and I'm excited to be able to share it across our viewership. Are there any concluding statements or anything you'd like to help close us with?
I think just put out goodness in the world and do good things for others and stop focusing on the emotions and the problems and the things that you get caught up in. Have more fun and just do more good in the world, and all good things will come.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Those are wonderful words to live by. Well, thank you so much again, Summer. I appreciate you taking the time to meet with us today and to share such great best practices and great information to our viewers. So again, thank you, and we'll see you soon.
My pleasure, Priscilla. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Ivy Podcast. Please take a minute to rate, subscribe, and leave a review on your preferred podcast listening platform. We really appreciate that effort. We'll catch you in the next episode.